Hi, I'm Karina. I'm the Music Ministry Director at Every Nation Auckland City. We are a multicultural, multi-generational, socially responsible church that makes disciples. We hope this message inspires you to honour God and make disciples.
Have you ever ignored God? Have you ever, you know in your heart of hearts, this is what I should do? This is what I should say, or this is what I shouldn't say. But you ignore that little voice on the inside. Does anybody know what I'm talking about, or am I just going to open up my own failure and sin? But truly, I mean, I can think of times that I felt like God would say, hey, give that person some finances, or give this person a lift. I mean, it's going to be inconvenient, but that's what I want you to do. Have you ever had those sort of situations? Or maybe you know that you're about to share something with someone else and you probably shouldn't because it's not really your business, but you somehow, in our soul, we get gratification from passing on information. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And you let slip and then later on there's that horrible little feeling on the inside going, I shouldn't have done that. There's a guy in the Bible that didn't just ignore the voice of God, he completely ran away from God. And his name is Jonah. And don't you just love the Bible? It just puts all your failures on the pages of Scripture. I mean, I'd love to meet Jonah in heaven one day. Say, hey, mate, how'd you feel about that? Like, I have a whole book just to you, of all your sin and your stuff-ups. Imagine that. I couldn't cope if you really knew what I was thinking on Tuesday. You know what I mean? It's like, wow, only 58 verses. Four chapters, right there in the middle of the Old Testament, but it's filled with drama. It's like we drop into a movie, an action movie, 25 minutes in. We don't have anything, we don't know anything about his upbringing, although some people speculate he was a little boy that Elijah prayed for and laid on and was raised from the dead. There's Jewish tradition around that, but from Scripture we see nothing of his history, his upbringing, his calling, when he went to seminary, what girlfriend he had in Form 5. We have nothing. You caught that joke, right? Form 5, that dates me. What is it, year 13 or something these days? I'm so old school. I know, I'm telling you what, I used to play halfback for the Israelites, I'm that old. Jonah. It's a series, it's going to be fun. It's a new series today, we're going to skip through, survey the whole four chapters. I like these short, pithy books of the Bible, and as I say, it's filled with all kinds of drama, including a big fish that swallows them up. Like truly, like this is an historical story. Amazing. We're going to get to know Jonah. And can I tell you that Jonah's not dead? In fact, Jonah is here. In fact, I am Jonah. And maybe you are too. Let's open up our hearts as we survey the book of Jonah. It's going to be interrupted in the middle as we celebrate National Kids Day on the first Sunday of March. But either side, we're going to have 5 weeks of exploring this beautiful, relevant book of the Bible. And we're going to learn valuable lessons. And I hope that we'll all allow God to reshape, to remold, and renew our hearts to reflect His. May I invite you to stand for the reading of the Word of God. And we are going to turn to the book of, everybody say it, Jonah. Exactly. All right, here we go. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation, my brand new Bible. It's so beautiful. Verse 1. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah, he got up and he went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He brought a ticket and went on the board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods and help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But all this time, Jonah was found asleep in the hold. So the captain went down after him. "How can you sleep at a time like this?" he shouted. "Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives." Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused a terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as a culprit. "Why has this awful storm come to us?" they demanded. "Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality?" Jonah answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This is the reading of the Word of God. Lord, have your way. May the words on these pages and the story that it tries to capture, may it impact our hearts and shape us today in 2024. In the beautiful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. You can take a seat. Thank you. All we know is that God calls Jonah to a city, Nineveh, which is the capital of the powerful and the brutal empire that's rising up called Assyria. And there is our man Jonah, and God calls him to go and speak, but Jonah runs away in exactly the opposite direction. Let's look at the map up there. You can see Joppa right there. That's where he jumped on board the ship. Where he lived was just a little bit above that, about 40 kilometers, in a little town which we find his location. We find his GPS address where he lays down his head. We find it in 2 Kings, by the way. But nevertheless, he jumps on the boat in Joppa, and God's saying, "I want you to head that direction." But Jonah jumps on the ship and heads to Tarshish. Can you see that? It's interesting. The entire book of Jonah doesn't look at the words that Jonah prophesies, but it looks at the prophet himself. You know you can be in church and do the opposite to God, right? You know you can have tears and lift the hands, but still live in opposite to what God wants. Interesting. We may wonder why Jonah didn't do what God wanted, but probably a better question is, why don't we do what God wants? God told Jonah to go and share the gospel. Every Christian has the same command in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Jonah's response was very impulsive, don't you think? Like, he didn't even talk to the pastor. He didn't even go, "Hey, Connect Group leader, can I like get some counsel? Can I like just get a little advice from an elder maybe?" Nope. He got up, boom, he's gone before breakfast. He is down to the wharf, just down here getting a boat through the Auckland Harbour off to find a place called Tarshish. He didn't crowdsource, he didn't look for information, he didn't wait upon the Lord and pray. He was gone. Not only was Jonah impulsive, but it's so unexpected. He's a prophet. He speaks for God. Like, wouldn't you expect better behavior from a prophet? It's like a pastor getting a speeding ticket. It just shouldn't go hand in hand. Can I just say, be gentle on my wife? She's still working on her speed, all right? Why? Why did Jonah go? Like, seriously, why? Well, there's a few theories, but actually Jonah tells us why later in the book. It's quite lovely. He tells us the reason why, but at first glance you might think, well, maybe he wasn't comfortable talking cross-culturally. Like, he might get a nosebleed as he tries to work out the language of the local people. Some people know what I'm talking about, right? A little cultural reference to the lovely Republic of the Philippines. Maybe he felt, "Oh, my English, not good, not good." Maybe he felt intimidated, less than some colonial overlord. I don't know, but he shot through, baby. He was worried about what he might look like possibly. Maybe he even had a bit of racism in his heart. A bit of prejudice, like, we're Jews, we're the favored people. How could God want to touch their lives? There might be a little bit of that in there. I think the next reason, it's more plausible in my opinion, it's more likely that he was afraid. The Assyrian people were like the ISIS, or what you might be seeing in the Middle East right now. They were brutal, barbaric, merciless people who were consumed with a lust for blood. They had sport with human bodies. As you'll see in the images coming up, on just two simple examples, they would grab their opponents, their enemies, and stretch them out so then they could skin them alive. It was easier to peel off their skin while it was taut. They would impale bodies, living enemies, living people, not dead bodies, on top of these stakes right here under the rib cage. So the weight of the body would slowly, they would slowly impale themselves and bleed out in torturous pain. They enjoyed inflicting cruelty. It was all over social media. Everybody knew it. They were spreading like wildfire. And God says, go and speak to them. I kind of understand Jonah's reticence, don't you? They had a terrifying reputation, a military takeover. No United Nations, no international court of, you know, war crimes or anything like that. It was dictatorship and it was brutal, and they were right next door to Jonah. But the real reason is in chapter 4 of verse 2. Is it me or should I be dancing with that light going? Jonah says in chapter 4, the reason he ran away is because he had no compassion for the people in Assyria. His heart had become hardened. He knew that God would be merciful and compassionate and gracious, but Jonah wanted justice. Maybe some of his own loved ones were killed. Maybe uncle and auntie and cousins and who knows what. He wanted justice. He had no compassion. They deserved the judgment of Yahweh, of Almighty God. And it tells us right there, he was concerned that God would be gracious to them. Well, God tracks him down. God sends a violent storm. It's life-threatening. You read it in the text, and the sailors are crying out, and they're throwing cargo overboard. But it's quite clear in Scripture that God sent the storm. Did you see that? There are really three origins of storms. There's the devil, there's God, and there's just the consequences of our own decisions. But some difficult circumstances are designed by God to get us back on track. Have you figured that out yet? Maybe a door's been shut, or your job comes to an end, or your finances are drying up, or the relationships go sour. You see, sending storms is one of the ways that God gets you and I back on track. There's just something about us that drifts so naturally. Tim Keller calls our hearts an idol factory. Some storms, maybe even a storm you're going through right now, could it be that God allowed it to happen to purge you and I, to refine you and I, to get your sight, your attention, and your affection back to Him? It's worth noting, isn't it? Not every storm is the devil. Not every storm is your spouse. Not every storm is the economy. It's been my experience in life after the storm to look back and see that the blessing of the storm, while I wouldn't wish it on anybody, offers rich jewels of growth that good times never will. Anyway, The drama continues. I mean, I wish we had this constant barrage of noise behind me. I was looking for a sound, you know, some video or something, because all through this, the volume of noise is increasing. The ship is being tossed. There's water splashing everywhere. There's yelling and shouting. It's intense. It's panic, and it's getting worse. I mean, God is shaking everything up. And the sailors are desperate, and they panic, and they find Jonah. What is Jonah doing? Can everybody say, what was Jonah doing? Yeah, it was mayhem on top. They're trying to survive, and Jonah, he's asleep. How could Jonah be sleeping? Does this strike you as ironic or tragic? Is this like a tragic scene in a movie? Like all the sailors who worshipped foreign gods, they were devout in their prayer to their foreign gods, but their gods were nothing and could do nothing. There was one man on the boat who had a relationship with the true God, who knew his word, who worshipped him, but he's asleep. Jonah slept in a place where he hoped no one would see him or disturb him. But sleeping Christians like to hide out among the church. Jonah slept in a place where he could not help with the work that needed to be done. Sleeping Christians stay away from the work of the Lord. Jonah slept while there was a prayer meeting going up on deck. Sleeping Christians don't like prayer meetings. Jonah slept and had no idea of the problems around him. Sleeping Christians don't know what's really going on. Jonah slept. I'll keep going. Is anybody enjoying this? Jonah slept when he was in great danger. Sleeping Christians are in danger and they don't know it. And I'll save my final one for last. Jonah slept while the unsaved needed him. Sleeping Christians snooze. They snooze on while the world needs their message and their testimony. All around us, dear family, dear friends, we have lost people, unsaved people, coping with the storms of life. I couldn't bear to imagine that without having Jesus living inside of me, without having the power of the Holy Spirit, without having spiritual whānau around me. They're trying to put all their hope in money. They're trying to put their hope in sex, drugs, and rock and roll. They're trying to put their hope in some political solution. Ladies and gentlemen, it's only the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that can heal hearts. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the world crying and the world's looking for solutions, and it's confusion and it's mayhem. It's looking for answers, and meanwhile church Christians gather in buildings and do nothing outside it. Meanwhile, we're so caught up with our own funk and our own consumerism and our own infatuation with comfort and career advancement, and those things aren't necessarily bad, but the world is dying. The ship is shaking. Can you see it? Can you see it? Just watch the TV. Just take a little break from your busy life and listen to the neighbor's story who's gone through a divorce. Or their teenager who's got all kinds of identity issues, all these financial burdens. I mean, life's hard. Life's hard. Are you sleeping? Are we sleeping? If we take a little sneak peek and further along the story, you'll find that God gives Jonah a second chance. And it's actually really funny, because I find Jonah really quite humorous. He's really moody. He's down there in that whale. I'll just skip to a little bit here. He's down there and he's praying. I mean, chapter 2 is all just a prayer in the belly of a whale. He's saying, well, you know that classic, you know, maybe you're in an airplane, you're on a boat, you're in danger, and you say, oh, well, God, if you get me out of this, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe you've said it. Maybe you've seen it in a movie. I'll give. So God rescues him. So he kind of like reluctantly, oh, well, I suppose I have to now. So he walks over towards Nineveh. He gives the world's shortest sermon, 5 words in Hebrew.
He walks along. It's quite funny. It's 3 days' journey right into the heart of Nineveh. He gets only one day into it. Like, everything's minimal, right? Everything's just enough to tick the box. Like, it's like coming to church on the third song every week. It's just enough, you know? He just sort of walks in. I mean, you know, I'm sorry about that. I mean, but I actually mean to say it. Okay. He's like, you know, it's just, and he gets only part one, and he just says five words, like no heart, no compassion, just honoring his commitment to the Lord. He doesn't even mention God or the gospel or Jesus, or like just five words. And you have the world's biggest altar call. 120,000 people get saved. A whole city comes to know God. Never underestimate what God can do through you, my friend. Even with your shortcomings, even with my shortcomings, even with that odd little sermon, God moved. You see, I'm coming to this point that all God really wants is our obedience. Don't have to be fancy. You don't have to be a master of a particular language. You just have to care. You just have to have a heart like Jesus. If we simply allow God to use us, if we simply allow Him to flow through us, we'll see miracles happen, praise Jesus. I want to tell you, friend, you have a purpose. There's a reason that you're here. There's a reason why you're breathing today. There's a reason why Jesus has been patient with you and I and brought us through. There's a reason. There's a people for us to reach. There's a people for you to reach. There's a reason you live in that house, sir, madam. There's a reason you're in that street, that neighborhood, that block, that school. You see, Jesus is wanting to position you. And all you got to say are five words. And God will move. God has called us all to shine the light and share the gospel, to have compassion for those people. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm not an evangelist. You're right. You're probably not, and neither am I. But can I ask you a question? Are you human? Are you a human? Do you care about the state of the nation, of the life of the person in the next cubicle, the next property, the next desk? Are you human? Are you a Christian? Do you desire for God to bring change? Because I want to ask this question. If not you, then who? This Christian game, this Christian life, excuse me, I retract the word game, this Christian life, it's not about gathering as many toys as you can and then lying in a box one day, 6 foot under. It's about seeing Ninevehs come to know Jesus Christ. God is so gracious. God could have let Jonah just die in that ship. I mean, talk about rebellion. It's a very stark example, but it's right there to show us something about our own hearts. God could have let him die in the boat with the sailors. God could have let him drown in the sea, but God wanted to give Jonah a second chance. So he sent this great fish to rescue him. And I want to just look at verse 17. You can read it there in Jonah, verse 17, the very last verse of chapter 1. And it reads, "Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights." If I could have some music, please, that would be really helpful. 3 days and three nights. Who else was shut away in darkness for 3 days and three nights? Who else was hidden for 3 days and three nights? Well, of course, it's Jesus. And Jesus himself talks about Jonah in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. "For as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Isn't God brilliant? Isn't God just a literary genius? Like 800 years before Christ was born, he's all through every book of the Bible, of course, his nods and his foreshadowing, heading towards, looking towards, pointing towards Christ. Here it is, a foreshadowing of Christ's death. While he is, looks like in a dire situation, in a death situation, in fact, the entire book of Jonah is about life and death. From plants to whales to sailors to Jonah to Nineveh. It's all about life and death. It swings between the two all the way through the book for our benefit. So Jonah spending 3 nights and 3 days was all designed by God to tell people that salvation is found in Jesus Christ. Praise God. Maybe today you're not following Jesus. Maybe you're running from God. Can I tell you that our gracious God has given you a second chance? If you turn from sin and turn from rebellion and repent and put your faith in Christ, he will come and live inside your heart and he'll work with you to work through some of the mess that's in your life. It's in my life. It's called sanctification, where God walks with you and works with you and puts you in family and helps you, and life takes on new meaning and new purpose. Has your heart run from God? Or maybe it's just drifted. The currents of the culture, the currents of our human condition has pulled you away. Friend, today you can renew your commitment to him. It's such a beautiful thing that we can just say, God, I'm sorry. I want to repent. I want to turn from that. I want to re-embrace you. Is that you today? Would you like to come back to him? Can we close our eyes? Just close our eyes. I want to give an opportunity here. If that's you today, after the count of three, you might say, Pastor, that's me. That's me. I want to come back. I've been drifting. Been going through the motions. There's no passion. I want to make myself available to God again. If that's you today, after the count of three, while eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you to put your hand in the air. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. It's just so I know who I'm praying for, if I need to pray for anybody. If that's you today, after the count of three, just put your hand in the air nice and high. It's private. This is between you and the Lord, and I guess me right now. One, two, three. Thank you for that hand. Any other else? Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. It's four hands, five hands, six hands. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Lord, I pray, Lord, over these hands which represent hearts, over these lives, Lord Jesus, as their hearts have been softened under the hearing of the Word of God, that, Lord, their hearts would turn afresh to you. We thank you as they confess their sin, that you are faithful and just to forgive them and to cleanse them. Lord, we thank you for new beginnings, for second chances. Oh, you are a gracious God. And Lord, I pray, Father, over every man and woman and young person, that their hearts would be firmly and clearly established in you, that they'd be humble enough to get the help and the assistance and the support to walk in community. Bless them. Thank you, Father, in your powerful name. Let's just open our eyes. I want to pray for a second group. And maybe you feel like Jonah. Maybe you feel, honestly speaking, you've been a sleepy Christian. You've been asleep. Your heart has grown lukewarm, maybe even cold. If you're really honest, your love for him is really absent. You're just going through the motions. I mean, today, in this space and time, is it your prayer and your desire to have the flames of God enter your spirit again for a passion to rise up? Is it your desire to be awakened from slumber, as the author of Proverbs would say, to really find the life of the Spirit of God flowing through your life again? I wonder if anybody in here would like that. I wonder if anybody in here would be willing to say, God, I need you to awaken my heart. It feels like I'm sleepy. You realize God has to do that. It's God that changes us, but ultimately, he also needs us to cooperate with him and say, God, here I am. Please help me. If anyone would say that, man, I feel like I'm asleep. I feel like I'm sleepy. I feel like I just honestly speaking, I need God to move in my life, to awaken me up and stir me up with fresh faith. If that's you this morning, can I get you to put your hand in the air? Anybody? Anybody? Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Let me pray. Lord, I pray. In fact, can I invite us all to stand up if that's all right? If we can just stand up. Lord, I thank you for these men and women in this place. Lord, I pray for the fire of the Holy Spirit to come upon them once again. Lord, would you stir them up, Lord. Anybody that's feeling sleepy and weary, Lord, it's not just a lack of sleep, it's a spiritual problem. Lord, I'm praying, Father God, for a move of your Spirit in all of our hearts, Lord, you'd stir, Lord, you'd cause a great humility to come upon us, that there'd be a crying out within our hearts, that we'd put aside other things and say, God, I need to be right with you. I want the freshness of your presence, the freshness of your fire. I want the freshness, Lord, of your power in my life. Lord, I pray today that you'd cause dead women and dead men, sleepy women and sleepy men to rise up, filled with the Spirit of God, to be hungry for your word, to love to pray. Lord, would you move like a mighty fire and burn out the dross, burn out the debris, burn out the deadness, and recreate a heart that pumps, that weeps, that feels, and that loves. In your beautiful name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. To know more about Every Nation Auckland City, you can visit our website, www.everynationauckland.city. For more messages like this, you can subscribe to this podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts.